This morning, I want to share with you from the Word of God, and we'll pray at the end. As I mentioned already, we're going to be going into the 3 days of prayer and fasting, seeking the heart of the Lord and the direction of the Lord for our community and for this church. The title of my message is, Look at Us. I would like you to open up the Bible to 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 27 and down. I've been pondering about the church overall. I've been pondering about the body of Christ, not only here in our community, but around the world. And because of social media, we have the opportunity to just Google a church, and in few seconds, we find out everything about them. We can see their services and we can see their preachings and everything, all what they're about. But reading the Word of God concerning the body of Jesus Christ, my heart is filled with a few convictions that I would like to share with you today. It's a body of Christ. It's not one person. It takes all of us, not just the pastor. It's all of us together, all of us together. And looking around, somehow ministry became only about a few people and preferably them being on a salary, and we forget that it's a body. It's still all of us together. It's still all of us together. This word that somebody from the Word of God has mentioned when they said, look at us, does not only partake for ministers, for worship leaders, for people that are often here on a stage serving, but for the body of Jesus Christ, for each one of us to be able to say with confidence, look at us. And when we say those words, look at us, it's not how much I've done great things. It's not how much I've deserved for you to look at me or what I have achieved. But it's understanding in a deeper way who is inside of us. To understand us as believers that He who is inside of our lives, inside of our hearts, is stronger than the one in the world. And that's why we can say with confidence, look at us. Not in our own strength, because we fail all the time. We might fail with our words, we might fail with our temper, we might fail with our deeds at times, but when we come to the Word of God, God never fails. And that's why we can say, look at us. Now, in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27 and down says this. This is Solomon praying and seeking guidance from the Lord and asking the Lord specific things that he wanted to happen. Verse 27, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? He's talking about the temple that he has built. Verse 28, yet have regards to the prayers of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant's prayers before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day towards this house, the place which you have said, my name shall be there. That you may listen to the prayers that your servants offer towards this place. And listen to the plea of your servant and your people, Israel, when they pray towards this place. And listen in heaven, your dwelling place. And when your heart, for in your ear, forgive. Verse 31. If a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath and comes and swears his oath before your altar in this house, then hear it from heaven and act and judge your servant, condemning the guilty by bringing his conduct on his own head. and vindicate the righteous by rewarding him according to his righteous. When your people, Israel, are defeated before the enemy because they have sinned against you, and if they turn again to you and acknowledge your name and pray and plead with you in this house, then hear in heaven and forgive their sin of your people, Israel, and bring them again to the land that you had given their fathers. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, if they pray towards this place and acknowledge your name and turn from their sin, then you afflict them. Then hear in heaven and forgive their sins of your servant, your people Israel, when you teach them the good way in which they should walk, and grant rain upon your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. Verse 37. If there is a famine in the land, let me stop you for a moment. How much we need the rain of the Holy Spirit in this community, in this nation, and around the world. And now it talks about a famine as well. And another passage from the Word of God, it says that there will come a famine. Not a famine from food, but a famine for the Word of God, because there will be so much mixture that will be preached in the last days that people are gonna want to hear words that are tickling their ears. People that are gonna be sanctuaries filled by the thousands. And as long as you are feeling good and not convicted, it doesn't matter about the message. All what it matters about the multitudes. And the Bible warns us that it's gonna come a time of a famine of the Word of God. Of the Word of God. And I feel like in some areas of the world, we have failed as believers. Instead of being for preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ, the full Word of Jesus Christ, we began to preach messages that will fill our pews, that will fill the sanctuaries. And in one way or another, intentionally or unintentionally, it led us to a place of famine. But let me tell you that the Bible promises that whenever when your people, and it talks about Israel, when they will come and they will look towards the temple and they will ask for rain, hear them from heaven and send your rain in abundance. And the rain is also a type of the Holy Spirit. How much we need the power of the Holy Spirit again in our sanctuaries and in our lives. And here in verse 35, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, if they pray towards this place and acknowledge your name and turn from their sin, then you afflict them. Then hear in heaven and forgive their sin of your servants, your people, Israel, when you teach them the good ways in which they should walk, and grant rain upon your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. You see, inheritance is something that has been promised, something that has been promised to the children. This is the inheritance. God wants to give his people his inheritance. Hallelujah. Verse 37. If there is a famine in the land, if there is a pestilence or blight or mildew or custom, if there is enemy, besiege them in the land at their gates. Whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever plea is made by any man or by all your people Israel, each known to the affliction of his own heart and stretching out his hand towards this house. In different words, they don't even have to come to this house. But whatever where they are, if they are acknowledging their failure, their sin, and they're repenting, and the moment they stretch their hand towards Jerusalem, towards the house of the Lord, hear them from heaven. Verse 39, They hear them in heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and act and render to each whose heart you know according to all his ways. For you only know the hearts of all the children of mankind, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land that you gave to our fathers. Hallelujah. It is a very unique and very powerful scripture in the Old Testament that the whole focus is built around the nation of Israel and around the temple of God that Solomon has built. And Solomon begged the Lord and he prayed, and the presence of the Lord came into the house of the Lord, that they fell down in the presence of God. Even the singers could not even stand in the presence of the Lord. And that was their prayer. That whenever when people repent, whenever when people will look towards the temple, answer their cry, answer their plea, answer their prayers. Can you imagine a person that maybe their marriage was in trouble? And maybe it was miles and miles for them to walk. It would take them weeks to come to the temple of the Lord. Solomon prayed that the moment they look towards the temple, hear them and answer their cry and their prayer. Daniel, he opened the windows and he looked towards the temple, towards Jerusalem, and he began to pray. They knew that in the moment of distress, in the moment of trouble, they can always count to look at the temple and pray. Why? Because in the Old Testament, that's where the presence of the Lord was. This is the place where the presence of the Lord was dwelling in. And that was something that they knew in the Old Testament. The nation of Israel knew that. And now let me go in the New Testament. And if you can open up with me the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 15 and down, says this. Now people were looking towards the temple. And also there were moments where people were coming to the temple. Many of them bringing doves and sheep, and many of them were bringing all of these things for the sacrifice to happen on their behalf for their sin, to be free from the sin. And some passages of the Word of God talks to us and reminds us that there were moments that there were rivers of blood flowing from the temple because there were so many people living in bondage of sin and they were seeking to be free and forgiven. But the bad part about that was, it was always a cycle of sin and confess, sin and confess. People were never truly freed from their sin. And they were bringing all of this animals to die on their behalf for them to be accepted by God. And now Jesus walks around Jerusalem, the street of Jerusalem. A passage says that he would come into the temple daily and he would teach the people. People knew during that time that there is something very significant about the temple. And they were eagerly awaiting to come into the temple of the Lord to pray. There's another passage that says that there was a time when two people came to the temple of the Lord. One was a sinner and the other one was very prideful man. He had it all together. He thought that the religion would save him. And the sinner was hitting himself in the chest and was saying, have mercy on me, Lord, sinner. And the other said, well, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like him. Who walked more justified from that place? The sinner. It's always, always good to be in that place of saying, God, I don't deserve you. Without you, I am lost. I don't have it all together. I fail here and there. Have mercy upon me. And that was the people. That was the people. They desired to come to the temple of God. They desired to come to pray together and to seek that relationship with the Lord. But there were also another group of people that were religious people, that they thought that everything they had going on in their lives, everything was perfect. They would judge others. And in a moment where that temple was supposed to represent something holy, in a moment where that temple was supposed to represent where the presence of God dwells, in that moment where the temple represented for people to look at the temple, ask God for mercy, for forgiveness, for healing, for rain to come, for the famine to be ended, for the bread to come, in that moment, all of a sudden it became a lot of business was taking place in the temple. And this is when Jesus is coming. And in Mark chapter 11, verse 15, it down says this, "And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons." Verse 16. "And he would not allow anyone to carry anything throughout the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, 'As it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of thieves.' And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him." Out of all the people, the priests and the scribes, they were seeking him to destroy, for they feared him because all the crowd was astonished at his teachings. And when evening came, they went out of the city. Jesus knew what the temple meant, and the people knew what the temple meant. But it came a moment where the priests, where all of these religious people, they turned a personal relationship with Jesus Christ for people to have into a religion system. As long as they come and as long as they give the money to buy the animals, as long as they get rich, they didn't care about people getting free. They didn't care to see victory in the hearts of people. All what they cared to see droves of people to come into the temple, to buy the pigeons, to buy the sheep, to do all of these things, to exchange the money, and they made a business out of the house of God. And Jesus comes in and he says, "This was never meant to be in my house. My house was supposed to be a place where people would come and seek forgiveness and receive it. My house was supposed to be a place where people would come and ask for a letter rain to come upon the land and God would answer them. In my house, if there was thirst in their hearts, if there was famine in their hearts for a relationship for the Lord, when they'll look towards my house or the temple and they would ask me of that, my intentions would be to answer them. But now, years later, you have turned the most sacred place into a business." And he began to flip all of the tables and kick them out. And again, he brought the attention to what the house of the Lord is supposed to be, a house of prayer. A house of prayer. And for that reason, tonight we're gonna come to this house of prayer. And again, we're gonna seek the Lord to send a letter rain of the Holy Spirit to come again into this land that has so many things in abundance, but yet we're lacking the move of the Holy Spirit. And to say again one more time, oh God, fill this house with your presence. Fill this house with your presence. But now, in my closing, I would like to read this passage that changed everything the way I read this passage. And now it says in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1 and down. "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lamed from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gates of the temple that is called Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him. and did John and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and knees were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gates of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement and what had happened to him. Verse 11, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran together to them in the porch called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. This is what people said. "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or pity we have made him walk?" Now, as I've shared a lot from the Old Testament, what the temple, the physical temple, meant for the nation of Israel and for the people that were living in Jerusalem during that time. Now Jesus comes in the New Testament before he went to the cross, and he confronts the corruption that is happening in the temple. But now Jesus is ascended. The disciples are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that in the book of Acts chapter 3, that Peter and John, they were on their way later afternoon going to the temple to pray. And can it be that this lame man heard stories of the temple of the Old Testament? Can it be, and this is just some thoughts, can it be that he would come, he was born lame, he would come to the temple and he heard that Solomon prayed a prayer that whenever one of your people are going to be praying and looking at the temple and asking you, would you answer them on their behalf? Maybe he came day after day, year after year, and looking at the beautiful gates, looking at the gold, looking at everything that the temple represented. And he would look and say, would you heal me? But there was no power there. And now, now, Peter and John, you know, the word of God does not just throw words. It's not like, let me just squeeze these words in because it sounds cool. I believe that everything has a meaning. So I wonder, where was this lame man looking? Was he looking towards the temple, awaiting something? But Peter and John now says, whatever word you're looking, the power is no longer there. But he says, but look at us. Because now in the New Testament, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And now, as a body of Jesus Christ, we possess the power of God. And now we can say with Peter and John with confidence, look at us. Not because we have it all together, but because God lives inside of us. When we become born again believers, the Holy Spirit by faith comes inside of us. And no longer we can say to people, go to church. But we can say to people, the church is here to meet you. So many people are still looking at the temple that man has built with hands. So many people are still looking at the crossroads of Grandville, Hershey, Harrisburg, Philadelphia, Lebanon. Churches that are so beautiful, built by man, beautiful stone, but there is no presence of God in them. And people are looking for answers towards the temple. But in the New Testament, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, now we are the temple. That prayer that Solomon has prayed, whenever when people are going to look at the temple, they're going to pray, hear them from heaven. And now there's millions and billions of people that are dying in sin around the world. They're looking at the temple. But let it not be the building. But let us as the body of Jesus Christ be reminded again and again that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are that temple that with Peter and John we can say together, whatever word you might be looking and asking for prayer, asking for the answer to be given to you, whatever where your eyes might be wandering, focus right here, look at us, because now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he says, I don't have what it takes to give it to you concerning your requests, gold, money, or whatever what it is, because all of those things are temporary. But now God has sent us to give you the desire of your heart. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Hallelujah. And this is the desire of my heart. One more time. One more time for people to look at us as the body of Jesus Christ. So we can say, we might not have a whole lot physically to give. Let me take a step further. My brother, my sister, in America, as churches, large churches, as small churches, we have a lot of resources that we can give. But unfortunately, at times when the supernatural is needed, we are lacking in that area. Not because God is not willing, but because we have put our trust in resources. My brother, my sister, this ministry was founded by David Wilkerson. And he believed in God that he will supernaturally deliver people, that he will supernaturally provide. This school has been here for 30 plus years. It takes over $2 million to run this ministry, to have the students come here. When the students come here, they're not even covering 20 or 30% of the cost. Supernaturally, this school is a testimony in this community. This church is a testimony in this community that we do not operate only by the resources of man, but we are operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. That we can say, truly, God, miraculously, you provide, miraculously, you heal, miraculously, you send people here. And we are a testimony, we are part of that. Hallelujah. In some ways, it's easier to run through resources, because that's what the lame man was looking for, resources, so he can get past another day. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and reminding us that it's time for us to fast and pray, to come back to the gospel, to simplicity of the gospel, and to say, God, one more time, would you remind us that he who is in us is stronger than the one that is in the world? One more time. Would we be aware that you are the temple? I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. That whenever when I'm walking through the streets of Harrisburg, Lebanon, Hershey, Granville, and surrounding areas, that I can be reminded that I am the temple, that I can truly say with confidence, look at me. I am walking in victory. Look at me. I have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Look at me. I am walking in the victory of the Lord. And the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. Hallelujah. 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 Look at us. Look at us. And I began to think about during the service, there would be a good practice in our life once a week for us intentionally on Friday or Monday or Sunday, whatever day, that we can be very, very intentional to walk into places where we can truly say, look at us. Look at us and just pray for people. Just pray for people because you possess the power of God. Hallelujah. 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 And for that reason, I agree with Pastor Carter. And whenever when Peter and John said, look at us, they knew what Solomon prayed, and they knew The people knew during that time that whenever when they will look at the temple, you'll receive what they're asking for. They knew that, but it came a moment because the temple became so empty of the presence of God. And the people were still walking lame. The people were still walking in sin. The people were still walking bound. And now, after the resurrection of Christ and after the disciples were filled with His Spirit, they knew if people are going to continue to look at the physical temple, it will be left empty. But they also understood that now they are the real temple of the Holy Spirit and we have the answers. My brother, my sister, if you are born again believer, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this morning with Peter and John, we with confidence can say, look at us. Not because I'm perfect, I'm far from perfect. Not because I have it all together, I'm far from that. But because I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I've accepted Him by faith into my heart. And for that reason and that reason alone, it is His promises, not mine. It's what He says through His word, not what I promised to Him. That I'm agreeing with Him now, and I can say, look at us, be healed in Jesus' name. Look at us, receive sight. Look at us, be free from the power of hell and sin. Look at us, be free from the bondage of addiction. Be free in Jesus' name. So often we have put the attention still on the building and we put ourselves backwards. No, it's us. Yes, this is a building consecrated to be the house of the Lord, the house of prayer, yes. But the real building, what we should care about, it's us. Us. And also we should understand this morning in a deeper way, people are looking for answers. People are looking for answers. There may be a lot of lame people still looking at the temple, at the buildings that are only making sound, but there is no power. My brother, my sister, in the new covenant, in the New Testament, we are that temple. We possess the power. We possess the answer to the world. You have it in you. I just want to remind you this morning to take authority now and confidence to know it's not up to you or me. We do our part and God will do His part. Hallelujah. Father, oh God. Oh God, thank you. This scripture changed so much in my mind, in my heart, the way I understand in a deeper way what it means to be the body of Christ. Oh God Almighty, people are looking for answers. People are crying out. People are hurting. And we are the answer through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh Jesus. Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us, oh Lord, in the moments where we have made this to be a system of religion. God, it's about the relationship that we are to have with You. I pray that You would sweep again with the power of the Holy Spirit around the world and in our nation and in our neighborhood. God, I pray, as Solomon prayed, that when they were lacking rain, that whenever they would call upon Your name, You will send the rain. And this is what we're asking. Send the little rain of the Holy Spirit. So many people are hungry. There's a famine. Not because we don't have Bibles, but we have a lack of desire to read them. God, forgive us. Forgive me in the moments where I'm slacking, in the moments where we're just cruising through, and awaken us one more time to come to the bread of life. And I pray, oh Lord, that we will be confident this morning that people are looking at us and we can say with confidence, look at us. And when we say that, it's not that we're offering something from what we can produce. But in that moment, we are releasing what you have deposited into our lives. Because your kingdom is about healing. Your kingdom is about forgiveness. Your kingdom is about restoration. Your kingdom is about hope. Your kingdom is about wholeness. And that's what we're asking you this morning, Father. We want to partake from all of these things. Forgive us where we became so religious. Forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us. And we're asking you as a nation, we're asking you here in this community that you would free us from the spirit of religion and lead us in a deeper walk with you, that we would understand and it would be intentional to say to people around us, look at us. That we would not only think that it's for certain people, but God, that we will understand in a better and a deeper way that we are the temple now. And what Solomon prayed, we possess the presence of God. And now we can be the answer. Because what you're doing here on earth, you're not doing aside from your body, but you're doing through your body, and we are your body. We are your bride. We are your church. God Almighty, I pray that you would cover us with your grace and mercy and help us, oh Lord. And as we're going to be going tonight in the time of prayer and fasting for these 3 days and finishing Wednesday night with the worldwide prayer meeting, I pray that you would hear from heaven our cry, that you would add to the church, and that we would be confident one more time that you are stronger. And we belong to you, and for that reason, we are empowered by you to live this life to the fullness of what you have intended for us to live. I love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.